Hey guys, can you hear us now? Sorry.
Yep.
There we go.
Awesome.
There we
Awesome.
go. There we
Awesome.
go. Awesome.
Sorry,
Awesome.
just had to
Awesome.
figure that one
Just had
out.
to figure some stuff out here on the technical side of things. Great to
That's all
have you
good.
guys. Thanks so much for joining us. First of all, it's been a huge pleasure to have you here. I'm really much a big fan of some of the work you guys have been doing. I feel like you guys have been around for a minute now, but it feels like it's only recently that I feel that I've learned about you guys, and I've sort of done a bit of a back history, a little bit here and there, and I think you guys are doing some fantastic work. For those who don't know, and just so we can get some nice little pockets here for our audience listeners who might not be able to see your wonderful faces as well, just introduce yourselves really quickly for us, and maybe a little bit about what you contribute to OTIA as a group.
Sure. Yeah. So OTIA consists of two brothers, two best friends. My name's Chez.
I'm Jamil.
Mr. Jamil. We share the writing load. We're a duo of MCs. We're also producers. I've produced most of our work to date, along with a lot of very talented collaborators here in WA. Jamil is getting on the tools as well these days, so everything's quite in-house. And yeah, we've been at it for a minute now.
Awesome. Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. I'm really, really grateful for you guys to be here. Of course, you guys are doing some great work at the moment. We've got you guys over Zoom here. I want to talk to you first and foremost about Perth. You guys are, of course, Perth-based. I don't know what it is with that scene over there, man, at the minute, but that scene is cooking up right now. You look at the likes of, the Jeremiahs, Jordan and Jared.
Yes, sir.
You look at the likes of Amali Jose, of course, Super Ego. Just coming to mind quickly, a few of the ones that come out of that scene. What is it about the Boorloo scene at the minute that's just going off right now?
I think it's just a bit of Darwinism, kind of isolation breeds pockets of creativity, and like it kind of leads people to create their own little universes in a way. As much as we are quite physically distanced from, a lot of the industry here, it's kind of like a blessing in disguise, and you have to work with other people, and you have to form bonds, and you have to do a lot of things yourself, and it's tough at first, but thank you. Like eventually you get to, it's an output of something really, quite unique. Quite, we get a bit of sunstroke over here. Maybe that influences, maybe that's why things
Yeah,
sound a
we
bit
don't know anything
different
about sunstroke over here
over
in Melbourne at the minute.
here.
Not
It's
a
more of
clue.
a rain anytime stroke.
Yeah, more of just like a torrential change of weather all the time. Hey, you guys are doing some fantastic work. We mentioned Mali Jose as well earlier. You guys have done some great work with Mali in the past as well. One of the leaders out there in the scene at the minute, and is standing his ground, standing on business, if you will, with his stance on Perth and being from Perth. Talk a bit about the work you guys have done with him.
Sure. I think we've done a few collab tracks with him to date over the years.
He's obviously a powerhouse, and he's great to work with. I mean, he's one of those guys. He's always calling us up, always looking for the next session to get in and do some work. And yeah, I mean, it's endless. It's endless, and it's yeah.
He's one of those people that will push you to be better. So we're really proud to call him, our brother, and proud to have, multiple pieces of work out there in the world with him. More recently, we started working on visuals together in-house. He started to get his hands on the camera, as have we started to direct our own videos and whatnot. And it's just that kind of world building
Yeah,
stuff.
if I'm not
And
corrected, he
to be around
actually,
someone. Huh?
sorry, I cut you off there, but if I'm not corrected, he
No, that's
actually
fine.
helped you produce and like shoot the music video for Grande.
Yeah, I did, along with Marley, along with another videographer here, Terry or Bagman, and yeah, everything was sort of in-house on another 40-degree day, and I think it probably looks like that, the video. Bit of shiny faces, a lot of sweat. But
Hey,
yeah, that was all in-house.
the colors in that music video were beautiful. So
Oh,
it's very captivating. It was very nice to,
thank you.
it's
Thank you
overall an
so
amazing
much.
experience, like with the track itself, having listened to it, and
the audiovisual experiences, it's very nice. It's how would I say? It's almost like blossomy, if that's the word that comes to mind.
Dude, we're gonna take that. That's gonna be in the next press run.
That's it. That's it. I like
Love
that.
that.
I
Love
like that.
that.
We
I'm writing
appreciate
that down.
the vocabulary as well. That's always really nice to
But
have on our end.
not even with Grande, but even before that, you guys have been testifying the quality of your work, and the biggest thing that I can see is like you guys performed at Laneway. You want to talk about that? That's so cool.
I was there at the event, and Laneway is dope. I wasn't able to get to some of the earlier acts, but the environment was really really cool. Talk a bit about being on a lineup like that one particularly.
Pinch yourself moment, I think. Jamil, what do you reckon?
No, it's hard to even explain. It was just such a good environment. I mean, obviously in our younger days, we've definitely been to the odd festival, being on the other side of it,
We're
being
used to being
someone,
punters, you know?
yeah, and we're contributing to what's happening there. So it was definitely affirming, which
It's kind of like, you're very lucky, and we don't take these kind of looks for granted. You might make music for many years and not get on a festival stage because it's so competitive. So we really count our lucky stars, definitely something to tell mom about.
But says it's not the first time you guys have been on a lineup like that. You were very similarly in 2023 were on Big Sound as well. Obviously we love both Laneway and we love Big Sound as well, but talk a bit about the differences in those two experiences, maybe then versus recently, obviously Laneway. How do you guys manage a set like that? Is that different to the sets you would do, say, in like a local small venue, or maybe a show that's dedicated to you guys in particular? Talk about how you approach that.
Well, both of those experiences sort of were like a trigger for us to revamp our live set kind of twice. Going to a showcase festival like Big Sound from Perth, a bit of pressure to get over there and really showcase your best work because we're not over there too many times a year. And that, we got the set to a certain stage, and then we got Laneway, and it was like, oh my goodness, moment. We have to step it up again. How do we do that?
Yeah, which is good. Yeah, working on something, building it up, and then tearing it down again, and then rebuilding it a second time to see how good, the show can actually get. But
At a festival, there'll be people there, that probably definitely did not know us because, we were the late unearthed entry. So it's like maybe at Big Sound, there's more. Some more informed or interested punters because a lot of industry there, right? They're really keen for upcoming acts. But Laneway, it's kind of like it doesn't matter if we like the song, we got to be playing to people who don't know, who we are. So yeah, some songs had to go from the set, it doesn't matter if we like them. But yeah, luckily we have a strong team around us that really coached us through that Laneway set and getting it to the point we needed it to be.
So speaking of team, so if I stand corrected, you guys work with Allbreed Agency, right? So they also have numerous acts. Like they also have Molly Jose on their team. So talk about how your experience has been working with them.
Never bored. So I'm involved in the back end of that as well, doing a little bit of label management and some just kind of, wearing different hats, a bit of cover art, bit of
As
tour
we do as
artwork,
creatives, yeah.
few videos here and there. And yeah, I can say definitely never bored. It is an agency, but it's really in its super early days. Not a lot of people doing the work. It's more of like it's like a congregation of people just trying to fill all the holes and make sure everything's done and just support everybody.
It's
So
homegrown, it's organic.
yeah.
We love that. We love that truly. And I'm interested to know in terms of says your experience, sorry, with label management and of course being a part of OTR as well. Talk about the balancing act of being both sort of like in the back end and understanding how the back end procedures and how that then informs how you approach things as an artist.
It's a tough one. A lot of saunas and meditations to kind of take that hat off and become the artist again. It definitely helps in early production stages of songs. When you're really excited about a sound, you sort of have in your back of your head where you might place this track. So that's awesome knowledge, but it can be a bit hindering sometimes. Jamil's got a much more fun job at times. Yeah.
I think
All the time. Hey, thank you. All the time
I
around,
like
it
that
was
Jamil
more
doubled
fun.
down and made sure that it was known. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, but this doesn't move without Jamil. So it's part of the being like so I'm so heavily involved in production and back end. It means I have to take a step back from writing, and Jamil becomes sort of the head writer, in a sense. Like every seed starts with Jamil, you know.
I like that. So is that generally, sorry, just to knock into the process here, is that generally how you guys start? Is Jamil sort of get stuck in and then you sort of bounce off that and add to it as you go, says?
Majority of the time it's gone that way, just because oftentimes I'll present like an instrumental idea or a beat and whatnot, and I definitely need a couple of weeks to detach from production mode and get
Really?
into writing. Yeah, typically I'm working on it, but yeah, typically
Keeping
I
that
need
men
to
of
take like
leisure
a
nickname
breather.
running hay.
Hey.
Keeping that men of leisure nickname running hay.
Yeah. Keep it going. I need to go have a few wine bar
That's
dates,
it.
you know. I need to go
Sitting out
relax.
for a siesta.
Yeah,
That's it.
yeah,
That's
yeah. And
it.
I'll
That's
come back and it'll be like the most fire 16 you ever heard on
Hey man,
the album.
there's some Fly 16s in the back catalog that I've listened to so far. I want to talk a little bit about the new single, Grand. I'm gonna go with Grand, or is it Grande?
Grande, yeah.
Grande,
Grande.
incredible, Grande. Talk to me a little bit about that and the process behind where that comes from and how you guys got to the product we have now.
Well, I think there was some direction behind. We definitely wanted a more upbeat track going into it. We needed something, we wanted something that, on a big stage would play well. And then Chez just came out with this nice beat. And then from there I realized we could apply something that we'd already spoke about in terms of what we wanted to make, and it all came together really quick on that one, actually.
Yeah, it was quite quick and frantic. And then, as I do sometimes, I just add a beat switch, and then I add another beat switch, and then I add another one. And then we started layering instruments, and it was very quick and very easy, but it was kind of like it was chaos putting that track together, to be honest. It probably sounds like it too.
Do you feel like it's almost scary sometimes? Like, I'm sure you guys have had tracks that you've been working on for, tirelessly and trying to get things right, and it's just not sounding right. It's just not where you want it to be, and it's just not there yet per se, whatever that means, I suppose, to you guys. And then you get a track like this that's come through super quickly and is out the door and is with the people already. Talk about how you feel in that moment of like, oh crap, this thing's like moving really quickly here. We've got almost a finished product, or a product we're happy with that we can call a finished product.
If we could put that feeling in like a you know
A
a like
bottle.
Bottle it, mate.
if you could bottle that feeling, I'd need that for the rest of my life. It's a very it kind of it's a validating feeling, because for every one of those, there's like 10 unfinished ideas in the bowl, you know. So it's yeah, I'm very grateful when that happens.
Well,
And
we're
you can
very
control
grateful when
things
it
to a
happens as
certain
well.
point, but sometimes you can't control it, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we're glad that you couldn't get control of it and it's out here with us now, because
It's
we're definitely very
happened.
much appreciative of the music as well.
Thank you.
I do want to chat quickly a little bit as well, just about in general about the process of that track being out in the world. It's been out for a little bit now. Talk to us a little bit about how you're feeling about it now that it's out. Are you happy with the reception that's come through? Talk a bit about post, parting with it almost, and how that's been.
There was a little bit of a delay with the song and then the video dropping. I had to get those colors right, so it's a little bit like
Hey,
of
you got
a
them
feeling a
right.
bit stuck.
You got them right.
That's good. But But yeah, there was a little bit of stuckness about 3 weeks after, but we sort of had the laneway performance and it really kind of carried us over. And
Sure.
we were excited to release the visuals, after that. And this track, more than any, we've really felt the like organic reception to it. Like we might have missed, we don't like to talk about it, but we might have missed a couple marks in streaming land and whatnot. But there's been so much organic positive reception, even on YouTube and whatnot. It's been really kind of eye-opening to us. It's given us enough juice to get the next track ready.
That's what we like to hear. That's what we like to hear. What I think you've given us is plenty of juice to go to this track here. We're gonna have a listen to Grande, and then we're gonna come back. I hope you guys have a bit of time because we'd love to come back and chat a bit more about some other stuff as well. I want to talk about some 2023 stuff going on as well, and perhaps what's coming next for you guys here. And we are back there. You're listening to the Hip Hop Show right here on Sin for your dial. We've got Chez and Jamil here from OTR joining us, talking a bit about some of the great work they've been doing and also some music as well. They are festival veterans now. They've been they've got their bag in,
Yes,
and they
sir.
are doing some great work out of Perth, Boorloo. I'm excited to have them on here. Hey guys, I want to talk a bit about how you guys have grown as artists, particularly and as a, I guess, as a group, and talk a bit about some influences as well, if we can. First of all, congratulations on the track. That's a dope track, first and
It's
foremost.
amazing.
Very, very exciting stuff. I want to quickly chat to you guys about. Talk me through early days of OTR. I'm talking like post Andre 3000 meeting, when things are just sort of forming, and talk about where you guys are now. What's been the biggest change? And maybe I might throw to you first, Jamil. What's been the biggest change you found from then to now in terms of how you guys approach everything OTR?
I would say not being sort of precious with the ideas. I would say the amount of writing that gets done as opposed to the amount of writing that goes out. I've learned to really just enjoy the process of making something, whether it's something that we eventually put out or whatever. It doesn't matter because everything that you write, everything that you make in the realm of music makes you better at the next track or the one that does come out. So that'll be the biggest thing for me.
Chez, going to you, I wasn't just going to name drop there and not ask about it. I feel like I have to ask about it. I'm sure you guys will get asked about it plenty of times in your careers going forward. How the hell did you run into Andre 3000?
I'm so curious.
It was, I think, 2014 when they were over here to play Splendor in the Grass. It was something like their 25th anniversary of their first album. And I think it was their first time playing in Australia. We were obviously big Outkast heads at the time and also big festival heads. So we
Sure.
made the pilgrimage over to
Nice.
Byron Bay.
Nice.
From Perth, which is a long way if
A
you don't
very
have
long way.
money for the
Ways out.
flight from New South Wales to Byron. So we caught the train, and after
Oh my
what, like
God.
13-hour train ride, we ended up in Byron Bay in like at 4 a.m. in the town centre, and he was wandering around eating a pie at the time.
Which.
He was quite jet lagged, so he was
Right.
kind of he was taking a walk.
Right,
I'm sorry,
yes.
that's the best story I've heard in a hot minute. Andre 3000 was in Australia eating
4 a.m.
a
in the
pie
morning.
in a fourth.
Sounds like he was getting the Byron Bay experience, to be honest with you. I'm sure he wasn't the only one up at 4 a.m.
Yeah, well, he recommended the pie store. He was like, yeah, they're good, things down there.
This is like, I'm assuming this is like an Australian pie, right? So like a proper meat pie.
Well, it looked like it from the outside,
Right.
to I didn't get close enough to have a
I
look at what
wasn't, yeah.
filling that it was a pie shape,
So I enjoy the fact that he probably really wanted an Australian experience and got the pie just to get the Australian experience. I love that. Do you guys have any general thoughts on the Flute album at all? I always like to touch base with people about it. Have you had a chance to listen to New Blue Sun?
I'm not ready to go that deep yet. I'm saving it.
Yeah.
I've had a bit of a skim and a listen through, and I enjoy some of the tracks. Recalling one of those titles, I don't know, some of them you can't even repeat on here, I'm sure.
No.
But I was just so happy that he was making music.
He told us he was working on solo material back then.
I feel like
Yeah,
he's been telling
so
people
it's
every year
yeah.
for a while about the solo stuff.
I've been wondering, so it's really cool to see something that's just so against the grain. Like,
Indeed.
trust him to do something like that,
Yeah,
right?
only him, right? Only him. I think what I liked about it particularly as well is that he's happy. You know, as long as he's happy and making music, man, that's the isn't that all what we all want as you know, creators, is just
Exactly
to
that.
create and enjoy what we're creating. I can't fault it at all.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, of course, we got Otia here. I want to talk about some of the influences beyond Andre 3000 as well. You guys have a very unique sound that's very unique to you guys, but obviously there's stuff you pull from other artists as well. I'm sure artists you're fans of. Talk to me a bit about some of the influences you guys have, and particularly perhaps, well, once we get some influences from you, we'll talk a bit about one of them and see perhaps where you guys draw from in particular with that artist. Do you guys have any off the top of your head here that you can share with us?
I think as a duo, another duo would be Run the Jewels. They do great stuff. And
Nice.
yeah, back in the day, I mean, I remember Chez and I doing karaoke of Run the Jewels at one of these bars around Perth. But outside of that, yeah, you've got like in the more modern contemporary sense, you've got like Anderson .Paak, which has been a
Dope.
big influence. I like Judena on the other side. Yeah, the whole Steez is cool. But yeah, what are you?
No, those are big ones. More recently, like Goldlink, the whole Soulection thing was massive influence on us, like Catronauta on the production side as well, but also your old school hip hop groups like your Tribe Called Quest and your
Thank you.
Delas
Thank
and
you.
even your
Staples,
Rough
staples.
DMCs. Those are like that's like kind of like the heart of
Yeah.
like what we do, you know, that's the heart. And then how to do it is like you look at your more contemporary influences and you say, how do you get this energy out these days? What bangs?
And talk to me about perhaps some of the old school stuff you're listening to, going back to Tribe and all of that era. How when you're looking and listening to stuff like that as creators now, people who are not just fans and audience members, but actually creating and actively involved in the industry, how do you then approach listening to stuff like that and drawing from it? Is it something where you're listening to it and going, man, I'd love to take the production on some of the on Tribe's work and bring that to Otia? Or are you listening to vocals and lyricism, or is it something that changes all the time for you guys?
I'd say it's different for every track for an artist, but like a lot of Tribe Called Quest stuff, I'll listen to it and I'll just listen to how Q-Tip will be flowing off of a bass line that he's written, and I'm like, this is magic. And I'll just think to myself, okay, we're gonna get something like that going. So I'll throw out and suggest bass lines and stuff based on stuff I want to rap over, because you get that. But you don't take everything, you just take a little pinch.
And sometimes you take nothing when you talk about those acts. It's really just like appreciation and awe, and it's like a kind of
I
textural
hear you.
thing. Like there's like a warmth to it that you just kind of enjoy.
I guess there is moments where you guys strip back and do become those fans and audiences again. And obviously, music is so many things. You can learn a lot from music, but you can also just chill out and not do anything to music, and you can live
Yeah, it's
that.
exhausting sometimes. Like we're fans first. You know, we didn't grow up musicians. We were fans first. So we still make sure to kind of, keep that. It's important to us.
And I think it's important as creators as well to keep that as well. I'm sure you guys would agree. Well, hey, Chez Jamil, it's been an absolute pleasure chopping it up with you guys. I want to thank you so much for joining us. We're going to give you guys the floor here just to chat all things OTIA and let the people know what you got going on, where they can find you, and that sort of thing, and what we can expect maybe. I know you got some hot releases, hopefully in the bank ready to go. If there's a scoop you have for me, Chez, I'm looking at you. If there's a scoop you got for me that you can sneak out here at 9:30 in Melbourne time, I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there. What you do with that information is on to you, is onto you. But now, just tell the people where they can find you and what you guys got going on.
Sure. So again, we're Otia from Boorloo, Perth. You can find us on IG, OTR underscore the underscore duo. Same on TikTok, OTRUH. Search up YouTube. You'll find all the movies there. Look, we're seven releases deep in a run of standalone singles. At the moment, we're working away at a little body of work, some soundscapes. We were in Melbourne. We were in October last year. We got a taste for it, and I think we'll be back soon.
Hopefully,
and yeah, it might be a release on the way in a month or two's time. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
I completely forgot here. I was just double checking because it sort of jogged my memory as you were spelling your name. I completely forgot you were on Excursions.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Dude, that song has been in my playlist for so long, and when the visuals came out for that, I was like, yo, this is fire. What is this? And like, Molly reposted something I think you guys put on one of your socials.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, let's give the joint a check. And then oh my god. I completely forgot. And the poster for it as well. We played this back in I think season 4.
Must have been a while ago now.
Yeah, it was
late last year.
It was when I was running I think solo.
Solo, yeah.
Yeah. But god, what a track. You like quickly just can you quickly touch on like how that came about or what the process for that was? Was there like a idea that was sitting in the bucket already, or was it just like boom, we're here, let's cook?
That is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
The latter. That's like one of the few times that something's come together in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We were at the end of a session, nothing was working.
Minutes.
I pulled up a sample and then Marley was like, oh, I got something. Put me in, and it really came from there. So that's probably like our most organic song production.
Yeah.
To date.
Came together very, very quick.
Yeah.
For
no chorus, no chord, no hook, no hook either.
No hook.
Exactly.
No hook.
Exactly.
No hook, baby.
No, I think for any creative, like that process, like you said, if you could keep that in a bottle and have it every day, like it's unbeaten. Yeah, it's unbeaten. Magic Johnson. Why did I say Magic Johnson?
Magic
Why?
Johnson. Yeah, yeah, unbeaten like Magic Johnson as well.
Yeah,
I hear you. I hear you.
Lokia Bar.
Lokia Bar. They, leave that one for you guys to take. No, that's free of charge. Hey, we had Otia on with us just there. Make sure you check them out on all their socials. And keep an eye, man, because especially if you're listening here in Nam, I'm sure that's not the last we've seen of these boys. They're going to be back here in no time for sure. Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
thank
you, both
thank
of you.
Thank you. You, of course, are listening to the Hip Hop Show right here on Sin. We're going to go to some tunes, and we'll be back to chat a little bit more about the rest of the show. But thanks, Otia, and yeah.
Big love. Thank you.